Fundamentals of Stargazing. Stargazing Tools. Evaluating the Night Sky.
Overview. Last month you learned about how the eye works to see objects in the dark and how you can condition your eye to most effectively see faint astronomical objects. This month you will learn about the sky, or more precisely, the Earth's atmosphere, and how to evaluate its condition for astronomical observing. As you will learn, not all clear skies are created equal. Evaluating the sky. If the sky is clear and blue as the sun sets, then there's a good night of observing ahead, right? Not necessarily. There are a number of factors that lead to a good night for stargazing, and not every night is ideal for seeing every type of sight in the night sky. Aside from the presence of clouds, there are two characteristics of the atmosphere important for astronomers: transparency and seeing. Transparency describes the clarity of the atmosphere. If the air holds dust particles, water droplets, or smoke, then starlight is blocked from reaching your telescope, and faint stars and deep sky objects are much harder to see. Seeing describes the image sharpness allowed by the atmosphere. In a turbulent atmosphere, masses of moving air of different temperatures swirl and mix. Because warm and cold air bend light a little differently, this turbulence slightly scrambles the light along your line of sight and makes stars twinkle or appear like unseemly blobs instead of tack-sharp points in your eyepiece. Good seeing, and therefore steady sky, is great for observing fine lunar and planetary detail and resolving double stars, even if transparency is poor. Transparent sky is great for extended objects like nebulae and galaxies, even if the seeing is not particularly good. But seeing and transparency are often independent from each other, so transparent sky might be unsteady, and rock-steady sky might be murky and not particularly clear. Of course you want both, but this is not a perfect world, and simultaneously steady and clear skies are rare in many parts of the world. How do you know if you have good seeing? If the stars are twinkling like crazy, that's a bad sign. And if you look through your telescope and see stars that look like boiling blobs, that's a very bad sign. You're best to skip planets and double stars on such a night, but you might try galaxies if the sky has good transparency. And how do you tell good transparency? After a cold front passes through and a heavy rain falls, the sky is often highly transparent but not very steady. A transparent sky is often a dark, rich cobalt blue before sunset. A whitish blue sky and high humidity during the day are sure signs of poor transparency. Another sign of good transparency: jets flying at high altitudes leave short contrails, if any. Long jet contrails are a sign of higher humidity. To minimize the effects of the atmosphere, try observing a celestial object near culmination, the time when it's highest in the sky and crosses the meridian. Just remember, look higher, see better. Depending on where you live, excellent nights for stargazing can be few and far between. In eastern North America, for example, there are some 150 to 200 nights a year with few clouds or no clouds at all, nights when it's possible to do a little stargazing. But there are only 5 to 10 nights a year with both good seeing and good transparency. That surprises many stargazers, but it's true. Of course, if you live in a dry, desert-like climate at high altitude, you will get many more good nights for observing. That's why major astronomical observatories are located in places like northern Chile and on arid volcanoes in Hawaii. Understanding small angles. Last month, you learned how to estimate angular sizes in the sky. Using your hand extended at arm's length, you can now measure patches of sky as small as 1 degree across, about the width of your little finger. Now let's look at even smaller angles. When you look through a telescope, you often see a field of view of 1 degree or less, a very small slice of sky. Astronomers measure angles smaller than 1 degree in arc minutes, or minutes of arc. There are 60 arc minutes in 1 degree, so 1 arc minute is 1/60th of a degree. The full moon, for example, is about 30 arc minutes across. Coincidentally, so is the sun. The largest craters on the moon, craters such as Copernicus and Tycho, are a little less than 1 arc minute across, as seen from Earth. Each arc minute is divided into 60 arc seconds, or seconds of arc. So 1 arc second is 1/60th of an arc minute and 1/3600th of a degree. Some examples of small angular sizes. Depending on the time of year, the face of Jupiter is about 40 to 50 arc seconds across, about the size of a large lunar crater. Saturn spans about 15 arc seconds to 20 arc seconds, and Mars is between 4 arc seconds and 25 arc seconds, depending on its location relative to Earth. Such small angular sizes are also used to measure the separation of double stars, two stars that are closely spaced because they are physically associated and revolve around each other, or in some cases are just chance alignment of two unrelated stars. Look at the middle star in the handle of the Big Dipper, for example, with your unaided eye. If your eyes are keen, you will see two stars here. The brighter star is Mizar, the fainter is Alcor. They are separated by about 11 arc minutes. A few sharp-eyed observers can resolve stars that are just 1 to 2 arc minutes apart without optical aid. Binoculars aid in resolving objects. A pair of 8x42 binoculars can resolve stars separated by 20 to 30 arc seconds, apparently. Depending on atmospheric conditions, a good telescope at high magnification can resolve down to 1 arc second. You will meet many close double stars during this program that will challenge your instrumentation and your observing skills. Many of these stars are separated by 2 to 3 arc seconds, or just 2 to 3/3600ths of a degree. In this month's section on deep sky objects, you will meet and learn to see two double stars to help you understand the idea of small angular separation.